Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. This is God's Gumshoe. We have a very special presentation for you today. By special request, one of the most requested and asked about parts of our program is the readings of the Book of Mark by Max McLean, who does this on stage in front of an audience without a script and in a dramatic fashion. We're going to dedicate the whole rest of our program, and then some, to this reading. You might want to get your Bible out and read along with this. It will make it much more enjoyable. And it doesn't really matter what Bible you have. Any Bible that's close by, just open it up to Mark and follow along. The Gospel According to Mark by Max McLean. Enjoy.
Beginning of the gospel about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. And so John came, baptizing in the desert region and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt round his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And this was his message. After me comes one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, my love. With you I am well pleased. At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net in the lake, but they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. They went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Be quiet, said Jesus sternly. Come out of him. The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him. news about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. As soon as he left the synagogue, he went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak, because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you!" Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I've come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. A man with leprosy came and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go. Show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went away, began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he'd come home. So many gathered, there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get into Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or say to him, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk?' But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, so there were the many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were the Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and the tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Now, John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" He answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he's with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast." No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth and puts it on an old garment. If he does, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. If he does, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, he pours new wine into new wineskins. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisee said, "Why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for the priest to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" Another time he was in the synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill?" But they remained silent. Jesus looked at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts, said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake. A large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowd, Jesus told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him, for he had healed many so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. And whenever the evil spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God!" But he gave them strict orders not to tell who he was. Jesus went up on the mountainside and called to him those he wanted, and they came to him. He appointed 12, designating them to be apostles, that they might be with him, that he might send them out to preach and have authority to drive out demons. These are the 12 he appointed: Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. To them he gave the name Boanerges, which means sons of thunder: Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Then Jesus entered a house. Again a crowd gathered so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, "He's out of his mind." And the teachers of the law, who had come down from Jerusalem, they said, "He's possessed by Beelzebub. It is by the prince of demons he drives out demons." So Jesus called them and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan drive out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan opposes himself and is divided, he cannot stand. His end is come. In fact, no one can enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions unless he first ties up the strong man. Then he can rob his house. I tell you the truth, all the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin." He said this because they were saying that he has an evil spirit. Then Jesus' mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, he sent someone to call him. A crowd was sitting around him. They told him, your mother and your brothers are outside looking for you. Who are my mother and my brothers? He asked. Then he looked at those seated in a circle around him and said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. Another time he began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake with all the people along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and withered because they had no root. Others fell among thorns which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still others fell on good soil, came up, grew, produced a crop multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said to them, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about this parable. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be ever seeing and never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seeds sown along the path. As soon as they hear the word, Satan comes and takes away the word sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desire for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and grow 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. He said to them, do you bring in a lamp and put it under a bowl or a bed? Instead, don't you put it on its stand? Whatever's hidden is meant to be disclosed. Whatever's concealed is meant to be brought out into the open. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. He continued, with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Even more so, whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows. All by itself, the soil produces grain, though he does not know how. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Again he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? What parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. Yet when planted, it becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds in the air can perch in its shade. With many similar parables, he spoke the word to them, as much as they could understand. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his disciples, he explained everything. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples,
Let's go over to the other side.
Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat. It was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind, said to the waves, Quiet, be still. The wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?
They were terrified and said to each other, Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.
They went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. Well, he'd often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart. He broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran, he fell on his knees in front of him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, What do you want with me, Jesus? Son of the Most High God! Swear to God, you won't torture me! But Jesus was saying to him, Come out of this man, you evil spirit. Then Jesus asked him, What is your name?
My name is Legion! We are many!
And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on a nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, Send us among the pigs! Allow us to go to them! He gave them permission. The demons came out, went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside. And the people came out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man. And they told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged to go with him. Jesus did not let him, but said, Go home. Your family. Tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. The man went away and began to tell in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And all the people were amazed. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, another large crowd gathered by the lake. One of the synagogue rulers, named Jairus, came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, My little daughter is dying. Please come. put your hand on her so she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who was subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she first heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and she touched his cloak. For she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped. And she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered. "And yet you can ask, who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? Child's not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, and he went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl, she stood up and she walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. Jesus gave them orders not to let anyone know about this. And he told them, "Give her something to eat." Jesus left that place and he went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began teaching in the synagogue. And many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. "What is this wisdom that's been given him that he even does miracles? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son? The brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "Only in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his own house is a prophet without honor. He could not do any miracles there, except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them." And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went round teaching from village to village. Calling the 12 to him, he sent them out two by two and gave them authority over evil spirits. These were his instructions. "Take nothing for your journey. No bread, no bag, no money in your belt. Wear sandals, but not an extra tunic. Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if anyone will not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet as you leave as a testimony against them." They went out and they preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. King Herod heard about this. For Jesus' name had become well known. Some were saying, "John the Baptist has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him." Others said, "He is Elijah." And still others claimed, "He is a prophet, like one of the prophets of long ago." But when Herod heard this, he said, "John, the man I beheaded has been raised from the dead." For Herod himself had given orders to have John arrested. He had him bound and put in prison. He did this because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, whom he had married. For John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." So Herodias nursed a grudge against John and wanted to kill him, but she was not able to because Herod feared John and protected him, knowing him to be a righteous and holy man. When Herod heard John, he was greatly puzzled, yet he liked to listen to it. Finally, the opportune time came. On his birthday, Herod gave a banquet for his high officials and military commanders and the leading men of Galilee. When the daughter of Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his dinner guests. The king said to the girl, "Ask me for anything you want." And he promised her with an oath, "Whatever you ask for, I'll give you up to half my kingdom." The girl went out, said to her mother, "What shall I ask for?" "The head of John the Baptist," she replied. At once the girl hurried into the king with the request, "I want you to give me right now the head of John the Baptist on a platter." The king was greatly distressed, yet, because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. So he sent an executioner with word to bring John's head. The men went and beheaded John in the prison and brought back his head on a platter. He presented it to the girl. She gave it to her mother. On hearing of this, John's disciples came and took the body and laid it in a tomb. The apostles gathered round Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. By this time, it was late in the day. So his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said. "It's already very late. Send the people away so they can go into the surrounding countryside and villages so they can buy something to eat." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven, gave thanks, broke the loaves, gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat, go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went into the hills to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake while he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oar because the wind was against them. About the fourth watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass them by. But when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they saw him and were terrified. Immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them, and the wind died down. They were completely amazed at this because they had not understood about the loaves. Their hearts were hardened. When they crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats wherever they heard he was. And everywhere he went, into villages, towns, countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak. And all who touched him were healed. Some Pharisees and some teachers of the law who had come down from Jerusalem stood round Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with unclean, that is, ceremonially unwashed hands. The Pharisees and all the Jews, they do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the traditions of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. As it is written, the people honor me with their lips, their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and if anyone curses his father or mother, he must be put to death. But you say, 'If a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise receive from me is korban.'" Korban is a gift devoted to God. "Then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your traditions that you've handed down. And you do many things like this." Then he called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, understand this. Nothing outside of a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." When he left the crowd, entered the house, his disciples asked Jesus about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean by going into him? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, then out his body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "It is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." Jesus left that place and he went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and he did not want anyone to know it, yet he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, born in Syrian Phoenicia, and she begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and give it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, for such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter. The woman left, found her child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Jesus left the vicinity of Tyre, went through Sidon, down to the Sea of Galilee, into the region of the Decapolis. There some people thought a man was deaf and could hardly talk, and they begged Jesus to place his hand on the man. After he took him aside away from the crowd, Jesus put his fingers in the man's ears. Then he spit, and he touched the man's tongue. He looked up to heaven, and with a deep sigh said to him, Ephphatha, which means be opened. At this, the man's ears were open, his tongue loosened, and he began to speak plainly. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone. The more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done everything well, they said. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak. Now, during those days, another large crowd gathered. Now, since they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on these people. They've already been with me 3 days and have had nothing to eat. If I send them home hungry, they will collapse on the way because some of them have come a long distance. His disciples answered, but where in this remote place can anyone find enough bread to feed them? How many loaves do you have? 7, they replied. Jesus told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Taking the 7 loaves and giving thanks, he broke them, gave them to his disciples, and set before the people. And they did so. They had a few small fish as well. He gave thanks to them also, told the disciples to distribute them. The people ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. About 4,000 men were present. And after having sent them away, he got into the boat with his disciples and went to the region of Dalmanutha. There, some Pharisees came and questioned him. To test him, they asked for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, why does this generation ask for a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, no sign will be given to it. Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread. Except for 1 loaf they had with them in the boat. Be careful, Jesus warned them. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. They discussed this amongst themselves. It is because we have no bread. Aware of their discussion, Jesus asked them, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many basketfuls of broken pieces did you pick up? 12, they answered. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000? How many basketfuls of broken pieces did you pick up? They answered, 7. He said to them, do you still not understand? They came to Bethsaida. And there some people brought a man who was blind and begged Jesus to touch him. After he took him aside away from the crowd, Jesus spit on the man's eyes, put his hands on him, and asked him, do you see anything? The man looked up and said, I see people. They look like trees walking around. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were open, his sight restored, and he saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him home saying, don't go into the village. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, who do people say that I am? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets. What about you? He asked, "Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. He then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan! You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone will come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and the gospel will save it. For what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? What can a man give in exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this sinful and adulterous generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the heavenly angels." And he said to them, "I tell you the truth, some standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God come with power." After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and went up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could ever bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, "Why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah does come first and restores all things. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything they wished, just as it is written about him." When they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd gathered around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as they all saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" Jesus asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed of a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He rolls around, foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive the spirit out, but they could not." "O unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him. As soon as the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy to the ground. He rolled around, foaming at the mouth, gnashing his teeth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It's often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. If you can do anything, take pity on us, help us." "If you can," answered Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe! Help me overcome my unbelief!" When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he immediately rebuked the evil spirit. "You deaf and dumb spirit," he said, "I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and he came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "This kind can come out only by prayer." They left that place and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know where they were because he was teaching his disciples. He told them, "The Son of Man will be betrayed into the hands of men. They will kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." But they did not understand what he meant, and they were afraid to ask him about it. They came to Capernaum, and when they were in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet, because on the way, they had argued about who was the greatest. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 to him and said, "Whoever wants to be first must be the very last and servant of all." Then he took a little child and had him stand among them. Taking him in his arms, he said, "Whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me." Teacher, said John, "we saw a man driving out demons in your name. We told him to stop, because he was not one of us." "Do not stop him," said Jesus. "No one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about us. Whoever is not against us is for us. I tell you the truth, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to Christ will certainly not lose his reward. And if anyone causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a large millstone tied around his neck. If your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands and go into hell where the fire never goes out. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than with 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with 2 eyes and be thrown into hell where the worm never dies and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with each other." They left that place and went into Judea and across the Jordan. Again, crowds of people came to him, and as was his custom, he taught them. Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" "What did Moses command you?" Jesus replied. They said, "Moses permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away." "It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law," he replied. "But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate." When he was in the house, his disciples asked him about this. He told them, "If a man divorces his wife and marries another woman, he commits adultery against her. If she divorces her husband and marries another man, she commits adultery." People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant, and he said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Then he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. As Jesus started on his way, a young man came and fell at his feet. "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not give false testimony, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." "Teacher, all of these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack. Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor. Then you will have treasures in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked at his disciples and said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. But he said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Peter said to Jesus, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," answered Jesus, "no one who's left home or brother or sister or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age: homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first." They were on their way to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. The disciples were astonished, those who followed afraid. Again, Jesus took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise." Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. They said, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You do not know what you're asking," said Jesus. "Can you drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with. But to sit at my right or my left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with James and John. Sitting down, Jesus called the 12 to him and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For not even the Son of Man came to be served, but to serve, to give his life as a ransom for many." Then they came to Jericho, And as Jesus and his disciples, along with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, a son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me!" Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me!" Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight, and he followed Jesus along the road. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, telling them, "Go into the village ahead of you. Just as you enter it, you'll find a colt tied there which no one has ever ridden. Untie it. Bring it here. If anyone asks you why you are doing this, tell him the Lord has need of it and will send it back here shortly." They went and found a colt out in the street, tied at a doorway. As they were untying the colt, some people standing there asked them, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks in the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed began to shout, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David! Hosanna in the highest!" Jesus entered Jerusalem, and he went into the temple, and he looked around at everything. But since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. But when he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. He said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And the disciples heard him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus went into the temple area and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those who were selling doves. And he did not allow anyone to carry merchandise into the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, my house should be called a house of prayer for the nations, but you have made it a den of robbers?" The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. When evening came, they went out of the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the root. Peter remembered and said, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered." "Have faith in God," Jesus answered. "I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt, but believes in his heart that this will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand to pray, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven will forgive you your sins." They arrived again in Jerusalem. And while Jesus was walking through the temple courts, the chief priests, the elders, the teachers of the law came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things? Who gave you authority to do this?" "I will ask you one question. Answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. John's baptism, was it from heaven or from men? Tell me." So they discussed this amongst themselves. "If we say from heaven, he will say, 'Then why didn't you believe him?' But if we say from men," they feared the people, for everyone held that John really was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, We don't know. Then Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I'm doing these things. He then began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a pit for the wine press, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and went away on a journey. At harvest time, he sent a servant to collect from the tenants some of the fruit of the vineyard. But they seized him, beat him, and sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant to them. They struck this man on the head and treated him shamefully. He sent still another. That one they killed. He sent many others. Some of them they beat. Others they killed. He had only one left to send, a son whom he loved. He sent him last of all, saying, they will respect my son. But the tenants said to each other, come, this is the heir. Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. So they took him, and they killed him, and they threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. For haven't you read the scripture? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Then they began looking for a way to arrest him, because they knew he had spoken this parable against them. But they were afraid of the crowd, so they left him and went away. Later, they sent some Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to catch him at his words. They came to him and said, oh, teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by men, for you pay no attention to who they are. But you teach the way of God in accordance with truth. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar? Should we pay or shouldn't we? But Jesus knew their hypocrisy. Why are you trying to trap me? Asked. Bring me a denarius. Let me look at it. So they brought the coin. He asked them, whose portrait is this? Whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Jesus said to them, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. And they were amazed at him. Then the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him with a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if a man's brother dies and leaves a wife and no children, he must marry the widow and have children for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers. The first one married and died without leaving any children. The second one married the widow but also died, leaving no child. It was the same with the third. In fact, none of the seven left any children. Last of all, the woman died too. At the resurrection, whose wife will she be, since the seven were married to her? He replied, are you not in error? Because you do not know the scriptures, nor the power of God. When the dead rise, they'll neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. Now, about the dead rising. Have you not read in the book of Moses, in the account of the bush, how God said to him, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are badly mistaken. Then one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, came and asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second one is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There are no greater commands than these. Well said, teacher. The man replied, you're right in saying that God is one and there's no other but him. To love him with all your heart and with all your understanding, with all your strength. And to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. As Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, he asked, why do the teachers of the law say that the Christ is the son of David? David himself, speaking by the Holy Spirit, declared, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. David himself calls him Lord. How can he be his son? The large crowd listened to him with delight. And as Jesus taught, he said, watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogue and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayer. Such men will be punished most severely. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched people put money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow put in two very small copper coins worth a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty everything, all she had to live on. As they were leaving the temple courts, one of his disciples said, look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Oh, you see all of these great buildings, replied Jesus. Not one of these stones will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. Jesus sat down on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple. Then Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when will these things happen? What will be the sign that they're all about to be fulfilled? Jesus said to them, watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name claiming, I am he, and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famine. These are the beginning of birth pains. You must be on your guard. You'll be handed over to the local councils and flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand what to say. Just say whatever's given you at that time. For it's not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Brother will betray brother to death, a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents, have them put to death. All men will hate you because of me. But he who stands firm till the end will be saved. When you see the abomination that causes desolation standing where it does not belong, let the reader understand. And let those in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the roof of his house go down to take anything out. Let no one in the field go back to get his cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that this does not take place in winter, because these will be days of distress, unequaled from the beginning, when God created the world until now, never to be equaled again. If the Lord had not cut short those days, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect whom he has chosen, he has shortened them. At that time, if anyone says to you, look, there is the Christ, or look, there he is, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will appear and perform signs and miracles to deceive the elect, if that were possible. So be on your guard. I've told you everything ahead of time. In those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky. And the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, men will see the Son of Man come with great power and glory. He will send his angels to gather the elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. Now, learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know, summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know the end is near, right at your door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all of these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows about that day or that hour, not the angels in heaven, nor the Son, only the Father. So, be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It is like a man who goes away on a journey. He leaves his house in charge of the servants, each with his assigned task. He tells the one at the door, keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. And if he comes back suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. The Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, we're only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were looking for some sly way to arrest Jesus and kill him, but not during the feast, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table at the home of a man known as Simon the Leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar, a very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and she poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why, this waste of perfume could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked her harshly. Leave her alone, said Jesus. Why are you bothering her? She's done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you. You can help them anytime you want, but you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, where do you want us to go to make preparations for you to eat the Passover? So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house, he enters, the teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there. The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening arrived, Jesus came with the 12. While they were sitting at the table eating, Jesus said to them, one of you here will betray me, one who's eating with me. They were saddened, and one by one said to him, surely not I. It is one of the 12, he said, the one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to him, saying, take it. This is my body. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them. And they all drank from it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, he said to them. I tell you the truth, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew in the kingdom of God. When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. You will all fall away. Jesus told them, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have risen, I will go on ahead of you into Galilee. Peter declared, even if all fall away, I will not. I tell you the truth, answered Jesus, today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, You yourself will disown me 3 times. But Peter insisted emphatically, even if I have to die with you, I would never disown you. And all the others said the same. They came to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said. Stay here, keep watch. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Then he returned to his disciples. He found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that your soul does not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Once more he went out and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the 3rd time, he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Just as he was speaking, Judas appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Lead him away under guard. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, Rabbi, and kissed him. The men seized Jesus and arrested him. One of those standing near drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Am I leading a rebellion, said Jesus, that you come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you teaching in the temple courts and you did not arrest me. But the scriptures must be fulfilled. Then everyone deserted him and fled. A young man wearing nothing but a linen garment was following Jesus. When they seized him, he fled naked, leaving his garments behind. They took Jesus to the high priest. And all the chief priests, teachers of the law, and elders came together. Peter followed from a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest. There he sat with the guards and warmed himself at the fire. The chief priests and the whole Sanhedrin were looking for evidence against Jesus so that they could put him to death. But they could not find any. Many testified falsely against him, but their statements did not agree. Then some stood up and gave this false testimony against him. We heard him say, I will destroy this man-made temple and in 3 days build another, not made by man. Yet even then their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus, are you not going to answer? What is this testimony these men are bringing against you? But Jesus remained silent. He gave no answer. Again, the high priest asked Jesus, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One? I am, said Jesus. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One and coming on the clouds of heaven. The high priest tore his clothes. Why do we need any more witnesses? You've heard the blasphemy. What do you think? They all condemned him as worthy of death. Some began to spit at him. They blindfolded him. They struck him with their fists. They said, prophesy. And the guards took him and beat him. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of these servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she looked closely at him. You also were with that Nazarene Jesus, she said, but he denied it. I don't know or understand what you're talking about, he said, and he went out by the entryway. When the servant girl saw him there, she said to those standing around, this fellow, he is one of them. Again, he denied it. After a little while, those standing near said to Peter, surely you are one of them, for you're a Galilean. He began to call down curses on himself and swore to them, I don't know this man you're talking about. Immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times. And he broke down and wept. Very early in the morning, the chief priests, the elders, the teachers, the law, the whole Sanhedrin reached a decision. They bound Jesus, they led him away. They handed him over to Pilate. Are you the king of the Jews? Pilate asked him. Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. Now the chief priests had accused him of many things. So again Pilate asked him, aren't you going to answer? You see how many things they accuse you of? But Jesus still made no reply. And Pilate was amazed. Now it was the custom at the feast to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man named Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. So the people came and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. Do you want me to release you, the king of the Jews? Pilate asked them, knowing it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests had stirred up the crowd to ask Pilate to release Barabbas instead. What do you want me to do with the one you call the king of the Jews? Pilate asked them. Crucify him, they shouted. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him! Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus into the palace, that is, the praetorium. They called together a whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe around him. They wove a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, Hail, King of the Jews! Again and again they struck him on the head with the staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe, put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way into the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, that is the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, The King of the Jews. They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads, saying, So you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down now from the cross, save yourself. In the same way, the teachers of the law and the elders also mocked him amongst themselves. He saved others, but he cannot save himself. Let this Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we might see and believe. Those crucified with him also heaped insults on him. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing near heard this, they said, Listen, he is calling Elijah. One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. Leave him alone now. Let us see if Elijah comes to take him down. He said, and with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the centurion, when he heard his cry and saw he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Some women were watching from a distance. Among them was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Younger and of Salome. In Galilee, these women followed him. They took care of his needs. Many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem were also there. It was preparation day. That is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, he went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that Jesus was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought linen cloth. He took down the body. He wrapped it in the linen cloth and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint Jesus' body. Very early, on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white sitting at the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Come. See the place where they laid him. Now go. Tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. When Jesus rose very early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he'd driven out seven demons. She went and reported to those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that he was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 while they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." After the Lord Jesus had spoken, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. Then the disciples, they went out and they preached everywhere. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied them.